Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I saw some people back there. It's three guys that look like Mumford and Sons. I could swear. So, first of all, what did you think of the album? Also, some of you know every word, word for word. Raise your hand if you've heard the album ad nauseum because you've been sneaking into listening parties. This whole front row should have their hand up. Ladies, you were invited. Okay, fair enough. So we're gonna have a moment to talk about stuff with them, and I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you spread the word that this is a beautiful album. I'm Nicole Alvarez. Without further ado, are they ready? Are they ready? Mumford and Sons. That's, hold on. They'll tell me. You and I could chit chat a little longer. You can now bring out your phones. By the way, name your favorite song that you heard. Okay. Ooh, that's a popular one. Did you get emotional at any point throughout the record? Yes. Where it belongs. Wow, that should come with a medic. That one's intense. When you listen to the songs, do you like to interpret them for your own life, or do you do some digging and figure out what they were thinking? You're a digger, but then are you able to sing the song in your life and like make it about something that you need it to be? Okay. Oh, so you're multifaceted, is what they call people like you. And how many of you are skipping work because you lied? These are my kind of people. Hey, Boo, will you knock on the door and will you just see how much longer they need? They're just making sure that they look like really good. We're ready? Okay, so let's try it again. I really want you to make them feel welcome. They just got back from traveling. This is a big deal. The album's not even out. So ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of myself and K-Rock, please welcome Mumford & Sons. We did. You were on the phone.
Right.
Yeah, you're on the phone.
I wasn't on the phone.
I'm going to start off by telling you guys these three quick stories. The three most unprofessional moments of my career have been Mumford & Sons adjacent. No, you don't even know the first one.
Oh.
So about a month or two ago, Rushmere, the song had just come out. And I'm driving to work and I'm blasting it. And I'm like in my own little world. In the morning, I take vitamins that are gummies. They're vitamins. They're vitamins. But anyways, I'm driving into work through the gate, and on the other side coming out, I see Marcus Mumford, and I panicked because I was like, did I take the right gummies? Because I thought I was hallucinating. And so I drove over the curb and hit the gate. And I ducked, and then I got up, and by the time I put my head up, you were gone, and I straight up was like, that is the best song I've ever heard. It fucking manifested Marcus Mumford. That is a true story. Okay, so that's number one. And I geeked out not because it was you, because I was like, my girl crush is your wife. I'm like, is she in the car? This is my chance. Second one, I have a bone to pick with you, Marcus Mumford. No, I'm going to let you have it in a second.
Wicked.
This is wicked. I thought that one day I went to interview them and I said, don't curse. I know you're British. Don't curse. And then I cursed. I found the video. It wasn't you set it up by sitting down and saying, well, if I say the C word, and that's how it started. Play the video.
I was in now the you can audience talk after. And everybody was like, is that fucking... Oops. Can I say that? Oh, cool.
Hold on. She fucking swears.
I was in the audience.
Unbelievable.
And like,
she would just give us a fucking lecture about
that?
It.
Oh, cool.
She fucking swears.
So when they sat down, he's like, what if I drop the C-bomb?
A fucking lecture about it.
He set me up. He set me up. Okay, I'm going to let you do your interview now.
So when they sat down,
I just
have
to share that with you.
You said there are three.
I'll tell that at the end because the third one involves you and Chris Moss. Christmas, yeah.
Copy.
On Monday, these boys played the Sydney Opera House, arguably one of the most beautiful venues in the world. And it was their first headlining gig in 7 years. And there's this picture going around of Marcus. Will you put up the picture? You look genuinely touched. What were you feeling in that very moment?
Oh, that's very sweet. I was feeling a depth of gratitude that... I think we only feel on stage that we get to do this job. And it's been a while since we headlined our own show. We did some festivals last year and we've done some warm-up shows. This one was the first like proper venue and we went a very long way. There was a bunch of people that thought it was a very bad idea for us to go a very long way. But things really internationally started for us in Australia. A Little Our Man won a radio contest, shows the power of radio.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. It's never won one of your radio contests, but so we went to Australia and it kind of launched our career outside of the UK and then Ireland and then the States. Really, that was sort of the order of the first dominoes to fall in our great conquest of the world. And so going back there after this longest break we've ever had as a band from releasing music and playing at the Sydney Opera House, which really, I mean, I had very high expectations for that place because it's one of the most famous music venues in the world. And it did not live down. It was amazing.
Look at Ted's face. He's looking at you so lovingly. At first, I was like, is Marcus feeling gratitude or heartburn?
Look how bad my posture, look how bad my posture is, man. I'm working on this.
Ted, you're looking at him like, look at your face.
I look a bit lost. I look like a little rabbit in the headlights.
So that was the beginning of the next era of Mumford & Sons. Rushmere, I believe it was 2 years in the making, correct?
No.
No? Oh, I was wrong.
We did it quicker. Cool. But you're right. We have been in the studio for 2 years, okay. Not just working on one album, though.
That's cryptic.
No, we were like playing checkers.
Oh. Oh.
Eating tacos.
Oh, okay. So eating shit.
Fiddlesticks.
Like just messing around.
Fiddling,
okay.
I'm writing songs.
In the 2 years that you were in the studio with Rushmere, what did you learn about yourselves as far as where you were as musicians and maybe even humans that you put into this record?
I think a lot of what you just heard was recorded together in a room. And it had been a long time since we'd recorded that way. We spent the last couple of records kind of... We'd write together in a room, but then we would... In a kind of an effort to making things pristine and perfect, we would track each individual instrument like 100 times and getting it that way. But Dave Cobb, as a producer, was very keen to try and get that little bit of essence that happens when you're actually in the same air playing the instruments in that moment. So I'd like at least half of this record is pretty much just live to tape.
We just listened to the whole thing.
Yes. Most of that entire front row has heard it like 10 times. They sneak into listening parties.
Sneak.
Oh, so you've heard it. It's old news.
And watch. What's your favorite song?
Surrender.
They mostly agree on that song.
Surrender.
Yeah.
I forgot about that song. Really?
Ted, you said something really interesting about when you're done with a record and stress testing it by letting other people hear it versus a non-community, like where you just put it out without letting anybody listen, where do you land? Like, how important is it to test it first to all of you? And in your gut, when do you know that a song is ready or it's going to work?
Well, we had the great fortune of just living on the road in the making of our first couple of records, so we could really, you know, road test songs at the very beginning.
Literally.
And it was, I think that was a training that's probably quite sort of bedded into the architecture of how we continue to write. I think there is a part of us that is perhaps thinking how it might be performed or perceived live, because we can't really do that anymore. Like, we haven't really done shows. The only shows, as Marcus said, we've done lately were festival headlines, and that's not really the best time to try out.
Here's a new one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we really just faced each other and trusted each other's instincts, and Dave Cobb as well. Like, we can't really thank him enough for the guidance he gave us on this record, because, you know, his whole thing was pulling this curtain back and letting everybody just see us three lads making music together. And I think over our life together as musical compadres, we've aligned, you know. I think there's actually, if we get out of our own way in the process, it's actually suddenly quite efficient and quite easy to make music together. And
how hard is it to get out of your own way?
So
who's delicious. Who's the most difficult? Who's the one that stands in his way the most of the lot of you? I don't even know.
I think we take it in turns. We can, we can all be obstructive in certain moments.
Before we get to fan questions, one last thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I trust that you will. Look, I'm looking at you.
Always.
Oh yeah, I know. Rushmere is a place, from what I hear, and it's a pond where you formed.
Like frogs.
Like frogs? Something. And
we hatched. Like amoeba.
Like amoeba. Yeah. But
primordial soup.
But is that true? Is Rushmere a pond where you form like amoeba? I hope that quote goes out into the world.
I just want to leave it there.
Yeah, I love it.
And we,
you know what?
Talk about that.
Same. Yeah. Same.
We grew little legs.
Same.
And we just crawled onto the land.
Same. We're
immediately
right
on
there.
Wiki. It's already got like.
We're going to leave it. We're going to leave it. We have fan questions. Postmaster Johnny, bring him up. This is Postmaster Johnny. Would you like to meet Mumford and Sons?
Yeah. How's it going?
Hi. No, why are you hugging me? Okay, I just saw you.
Yeah. Cool. You haven't got a chair. Why haven't you got a chair?
Do you want to sit here with us?
You're too handsome not to. Okay.
Just like for two questions, and then you know what to do. Do the right thing. Okay. So this is from Marcy Fox in Long Beach. If you could, this could get spicy.
If boy, their name like Marcy Fox. I imagine it does. That's a fake name. That's a porn name.
Well, I didn't name her.
I'm so sorry. I never knew your last name.
Bow chicka bow wow. Marcy Fox.
I'm sorry. I'm not on Facebook, so I knew your name was Marcy.
Marcus.
We go way back with Marcy, but
nobody,
I didn't know your last name
was
Fox.
Nobody's
it's
on Facebook.
Name.
Nobody's on Facebook.
Marcy's on Facebook.
I know.
I bet you
Marcy,
she's on Facebook.
Okay, if you could ask your bandmates any interview question, what would it be? This is why it can get spicy here. Look at each other and ask something you've never asked.
I'm not going first.
I think it's your turn.
We have to each ask each other a question.
Just if one person wants to like take one for the team, then I'll leave it at one. If not, if this takes any longer, then all three of you are going to have to do it.
Okay.
And that's the rules that you play by.
Ted.
Oh, you have a different question?
Is Chris Moss ever
coming back?
Same question. Same question. Yeah.
Why don't you go and ask Chris Moss?
Chris Moss is on the road with Sting.
Chris is out with Sting. Yeah. Just sick. I mean, if I could go out with Sting,
yeah,
I'd stay out with Sting for a while longer. He's one of our best friends, so yeah, we're stoked for him that he's playing in a trio with Sting. That's sick.
Okay, we don't have to do the uncomfortable one where it gets spicy, but think about it for the future so you can all ask each other questions. You're welcome. Okay, we'll move on. We'll move on.
Next time I see you guys.
Okay,
nice. We'll have
cool.
something ready
Thank
for you.
Vivian Hollenbeck from UCLA. Okay. This is long. How does it feel? What do you think when fans have their own interpretation of songs that wasn't what you intended? Set them straight or?
No way. My least favorite thing in the world is when someone sits somewhere with an acoustic guitar and before they play the song, they tell you what the song's about. Because I'm like, if it's a good enough song, I should be able to interpret it however I want to. and it should make me feel something before I even understand it. So I think over-explaining songs has become like more fashionable, certainly over the last like 20 years, I'd say, and I'm not cool with it.
Okay, no, I agree.
I want some mystery and I want some I want it open for interpretation. If I can feel something, then if I make you feel something, I've done my job. Yeah. I don't need to make you understand everything about why I wrote something. Yeah. I think good music should be able to convey feeling.
Agreed.
Anyway, Malibu. I can get quite ranty about it.
I see.
You can tell.
I see. Malibu is my favorite song on the record.
Now that song's all about.
Hold on, but this is funny. Malibu, and I went to do a little research. I'm like, did they write it in Malibu? I was just curious about the song title, and the first thing that comes up is an article in Premier Christian Magazine, where they claim that it is now the anthem of the youth that are embracing Christianity. I'm like, you know what? Let them have it. Let them have it.
And that's why interpretation is great.
That's what interpretation.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's making the youth of Christianity feel something, like, thank God for that.
Yes, there you go.
Great.
You've done your part.
You got a feel as well.
Okay, Kiana Morris from Corona. Which song from the... Kiana must be here. Hello, Kiana. Which song from the album is your favorite and why?
From Rushmere. Is that the question?
I assume.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'm going to go with Caroline. Sorry, Ted. Ted was the real flag bearer of that song when we were in the studio, and he really was like, this song's going to be so great once we actually just put it down and on tape. Taking it out on the road has just been awesome.
So
it's like every night it kicks off, and then like in the break, in the instrumental break after the second chorus, it just feels like we're fully in a party mode, which actually it's taken a minute to feel that way since we were properly having hoedowns in the early years. So it's like, it's great. It's like in that sense, energy high.
And then this is the last one here is Amanda Robarge from Alaska would like to know, it's a two-parter.
Alaska is one of the 7 states I don't think we've played yet. So I want to do like a cleanup tour.
Well, especially when you read this and how full of love this is. The first part is, do you lads like to fish? And, or, do you know how loved you are? Thank you for all the gifts you give us. So now you have to go to Alaska.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I caught my first trout on a fly last year, and I get it.
Yeah.
I've never really got it before.
Is it like golfing where you just like, you become one with yourself and it's zen?
I don't know about you guys, but I'm certainly not like that when I golf. I'm the opposite. It rips my character to shreds. But this, I had a friend teach me who's a very good fly fisherman, and I'd never done it before. And I was just at his house. He had a pond, and we just were like, and I get it.
Yeah.
Because I grew up like with a really stinky little bait box. Because my brother was older than me, so in the summer holidays, I was effectively an only child for half of my childhood. So I'd sit with my stinky bait box on the beach next to a river mouth and try and catch little sea bass. And I've always enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed my own company, actually.
Yeah.
I won't go into it. But I like fishing. And then I like mackerel fishing we've done a bunch of that together off the south coast of England.
I really love this for you. I feel very happy for you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, I like eating fish.
Okay, and now you can catch and eat, and it all works.
But yes, thank you for the invitation to Alaska to go fly fishing.
I'll give you this so that you know, like, when you're out in Alaska and Anchorage, you can shout her out and maybe find her. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be lovely.
That would be cool. Okay, and then to wrap this up really quick, you played SNL 50, which I think is one of the best productions of that nature that I've ever seen.
Agreed.
The star power there was ridiculous, but the way that moved, and you chose one of the most beautiful songs in the world, Simon and Garfunkel's The Boxer. Out of all the songs you could have done, including one of your own, why did you want to play that?
We love that song. And the whole evening was co-curated and kind of put together by Mark Ronson.
That's why it was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's an amazing force of nature, and he was asking whether there's anything from the stable of SNL classics that we love, and that song means so much to that show. It's been performed more than once and kind of very important times, and I think we actually cut it on Babel. It was on the extended version.
Oh, I have it. It's my dad's favorite song ever. So when I hear the la 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 part, la da da, my whole heart.
Yeah. So it just felt like a great alignment, and we think that's such a great institution. It was so fun to be a part of it. New York was.
It was incredible. It was electric. Yeah.
Paul Simon actually sang on that version of the song because Jerry Douglas, the slide guitarist, suggested we do it, and we loved it. Obviously, always. And then Paul sang on it, but we'd never met him until rehearsals for SNL because he did the main show on the Sunday night with Sabrina Carpenter. Mm-hmm. And we met him in the rehearsal space for the first time. And he was stoked that we were singing that version of the song with that melody in it because it's on an Emmylou Harris version of The Boxer where they sing it. And he was like, Artie wrote that part. And I love that you're giving it an airing, and it's really cool. And he was amazing.
It's if you guys really haven't heard that, you absolutely must. And then this is a quick one, but Ted Lasso season 4, will you be involved?
I don't know yet. I haven't checked my phone.
I'm assuming they'll keep the title track.
I think they keep the you call it a tart track. Really, it's kind just of. A drum fill in it. Yeah. And then it's skip
the
intro.
It's kind of the theme.
There is a whole song, but I don't know if they've even started. I don't know anything. I don't know any more than you.
Okay,
do. But Jason Sudeikis does leave the world's longest voice memos, and he'll often leave them on the phone that I'm not using because I have two phones. I'm like a spy, and and if I'm in the States, I don't really use my UK phone, so I haven't checked my UK phone in a while.
Oh, so we all had that problem.
Maybe it's on there, and maybe it's not.
I haven't checked my Costa Rican phone. I'll do that after this. This is the last question for the fan, and then I'm going to wrap it up. This is for you, I think, Marcus. Would your adorable English wife leave her adorable English husband for a less adorable, trashy American lesbian? I didn't write it.
You definitely didn't write it.
I'll check.
Okay.
Probably something worth checking.
To be continued.
That's my favorite question ever.
To be continued. You wrote a magical, magical record, and I've read a lot of bands when they're at the beginning of the cycle of a record, they're like, you were excited about the new music, and they're not. They just have to say that. But these guys have said it, and I've read it, and I feel like it is absolutely true.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, especially because I'd forgotten about Surrender. I mean, once we make a record, I never listen to it again. And we have been writing lots and lots of songs and we've been working more, and so I haven't listened to Rushmere since we finished it. I genuinely forgot about that song, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, you're about to go on tour. Maybe brush up a little. Un poquito. Poquito.
A We're monitor. On tour. Monitors. I should have brushed up. It's too late now.
Yeah. So it's just a piece of advice. I've been around for a while. Thank you so much, because you always show up for K-Rock, and I always have such a good time with you. I hate that you have to leave.
No, we're going to play your song, I think.
What? Yeah. This is, you guys, let's hear it for Mumford & Sons, and I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.